Path of Rightness in Time of Civilizational Change. Fancy title. Actually, it's the same Path of Rightness at any time. But the turmoil of this time makes it clearer. So the world's in a mess, a tragedy. We've been binging on fossil fuels and other resources, topsoil, fresh water, overused. It's like self-harm, even suicide. And do you ever feel like you're being farmed? Did we vote to trash the planet this way? And we're the generation that saw it coming but did nothing to stop it when we could. That doesn't feel good, does it?
And can I interrupt? Can everybody hear? I saw some people.
Should I speak louder?
Could we make it a little bit louder, please?
Okay.
I saw some people indicating, yeah.
Shall I start again?
That's fine.
Okay, so we're the generation that saw it coming but did nothing to stop it when we could. That doesn't feel good, does it? And this land of freedom and democracy, is that freedom to exploit people and planet? Freedom to do what you please without responsibility? And America's the bully in the playground with its gang of rich countries and global scale war being planned by the military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned of and the CIA that Kennedy wanted to shatter. They are the forces of evil in the world today and they're out of control. It's not people that are the problem, but the system we live in. You have to eat the food of the empire you inhabit, and we're all tied in and complicit. But our white Western civilization, with its exploitation and war, is blocking progress. The exploitation has reached its limit, and the war making's insane. And now with the eco-crisis, the trauma is global. And we can heal it globally. It's not personal, but global salvation we need. It's time for we in the West, who've eaten most of the carbon cake, to give up the exploitation and war, put aside our sense of superiority, and learn to share and cooperate and heal and save ourselves in the process. We need a global system that nurtures goodwill, not greed. Cooperation, not ill will. Global management of resources fairly done to satisfy our basic needs globally. 5% of global GDP would pay to transform things, and a 30% tax on the money in tax havens would raise that instantly. The internet has opened a door and a window to see things more clearly and to the global connectedness we need. And the sense of oneness, once the reserve of mystics and lunatics, is now the word on the street. We're one people, one planet now, or soon will be. So like a snake leaves its skin, it's time to leave this civilization based on exploitation and war behind. As speedily as we can, because a new child's been born, and these are the birth pangs. There are two obstacles I see. First, wealth inequality, the camel in the eye of the needle. Globally, 1% own half of everything, while the poorest half of the world own just 2%. And when you're in your kitchen or bathroom, do you give a thought to the people, the half of the world for whom running water is just a dream? And we use meritocracy to justify the inequality. We don't like to think of our eco-footprint, not just the exploitation of the planet footprint, but our people exploitation footprint too. But when you do, you see the impossibility of getting people to go through the eye of the needle individually, then you see the need for global system change. And when you realize that, how do you react? Okay, it's hard to know what to do, but if you just turn away, something inside you dies. Along with the wealth inequality comes fakery, which affects the middle classes especially, because it helps us deal with our complicity. There's the fakery of empire, making war in the name of peace, and we've all been well propagandized. There's the fakery of living the meaningless life, as the poet Paladus wrote, life's a stage full of toys, dress up and play your part, put every serious thought away, or risk a broken heart. There's the fakery of liberals that James Baldwin talked about, empty words and token gestures, naivety and feigned ignorance, ignorance, not understanding the injustice right before their eyes, not wanting to. Then there's spiritual fakery, excuse not to engage with the world, smoke screen to hide behind, recreational activity, lifestyle posturing. Pope Francis talks about the virus of narcissistic spirituality. Who's he got in mind? And the Bible, whether it's the chosen people syndrome of the Old Testament or the complicity with empire of the New, both get used to justify intolerance, exploitation, and war. And with the Dalai Lama in the pay of the CIA, it's worth asking hypothetically, is your spiritual practice one that the CIA would be happy to support? So what can guide us in this time of turmoil? What's useful and real and not fake? Or to put it another way, when they ask you, what do you worship or venerate? What do you reply? Here's my answer to that. There's a feeling and a force in the world to want to help fix things, to make things better. It's a feeling inside, an urge to act for something beyond self or tribe, to reach out a hand to help heal this world and ourselves. It's a force that spans all cultures and time. You can see it in non-human primates too. They know right from wrong and appreciate harmony. And in humans, it's more distilled. Supposedly, we're more skilled. And even in this modern world, which nurtures selfishness and greed, this force or spirit or desire to act for the good is still found all around, sometimes in places you least expect. It's irrepressible. It's the spirit that gave rise to global humanitarianism, abolition of the slave trade, adoption of human rights, founding of the UN. It leads some people to fight for the oppressed, say like Clive Stafford Smith with his charity Reprieve, for people on death row and victims of drones, or Snowden and Assange, the whistleblower and the journalist, banished and imprisoned for revealing American war crimes. Countless other people living less high profile lives, committed to doing what they can to help make a better world, and committed to put a bit of effort in because they choose to and want to. And it's a spirit you can see now rising all around the world in response to our global situation. And it gives us strength and focus we didn't know we had, because when life is threatened, determination kicks in. But this feeling or force or spirit, what's its name? I mean, we have to try and put words to these things, don't we? So here goes my try. This feeling, this force, I call it Gudda. The word I found from the Indo-European root gedda, meaning gather, like herding sheep, or making a bundle of sticks fit well together, connecting with others harmoniously, helping to fix this world that's broke. And the global dimension is key. Actually, ancient Egyptians had a similar thing called Maat. Truth, justice, beauty, balance, all the gifts of the gods. Fill yourself with Maat, they'd say, and replace the bad in the world with good. And perhaps use a different word, but actually the word doesn't matter. It's what lies behind it that counts. So here are some things to know about Gudda. Gudda is truth, the pursuit of clarity, cutting through the fakery, getting to the essence of things, authenticity too, true to yourself, willing to be self-critical, also willing to step out of the Western media bubble with its play school news, inciting suspicion and goodwill, ill will. Good is justice, an end to the exploitation of people and planet. It means peace as well, because peace and justice go hand in hand. Good is the enemy of exploitation and war. Gooda is amity, to connect and cooperate. There are other words you can use. Love, though love can be blind. Kindness too, though kindness can kill. And of course, you need to feel good in yourself too. So that's the Gooda Trinity, truth, justice, and amity. Also, Gooda is the challenge of working out what the best thing to do is and doing it. There's no shortage of things to be done, and we can't know where the shoots of the good future come from. So push at many doors, use all your talents and ingenuity without expectation or need, because it's not about you, but what you can do, which doesn't mean selfless, but it means recognition that we're all part of a super organism like bees. Gooda is transformation. Don't try to blank things out with mindfulness or drugs. Ride the roller coaster, face the storm. When a path appears, a heartbeat will decide. Take first step and there's no turning back. Out of suffering, good can come when we put a bit of effort in. Good is the global community, invisible but real. Good is an attitude, poised and calm like Tai Chi. And good is giving, not altruism, not us and them, but we. Until this system change, it's reparation for the damage that's been done. And it's to pay for your eco footprint, for your time on this earth. And it's helping to turn people's vision and dreams into reality, helping make the better world we need. And when you give, it's not just money, you nurture good or two, but still every dollar less spent in the West is a step for the good. Specifically, the Global Giving website has hundreds of brilliant projects. I've shown just one example, La Rue Nubienne, vaulted mud brick eco-housing with no wood or metal use. And £300 pays for a house. I mean, is that not irresistible? So if you can afford it, give. And even when we know death is approaching, we can still give, still live to give. Gooda is Black Lives Matter, at the heart of the empire where change must come. The descendants of slaves can show us how to behave. And likewise, the indigenous who survived being herded off cliffs, and all the victims of colonialism, and the poor and oppressed everywhere, in trashed countries and refugee camps, rural huts to city slums, and not forgetting the new precariat underclass in the rich West, and for that matter, you and me, and our children and their children too, all deserve better than this. Buddhas in China too. China has a sense of community that we lost long ago. They've no class war. They had a revolution and got over that. 50% of people live on the land. That's a good basis for sustainability. They do things non-ideologically, whatever works best. They're committed to five principles of peaceful coexistence and also to a path to ecological civilization, harmony with nature, harmony between peoples. We should do that. And if they can make capitalism work to benefit the poor, is that such a bad thing for the world? If you're interested in our shared global future, then I suggest check out CGTN, the China Global Television Network channel. You may be surprised, even inspired. You'll certainly be better informed. And you can think of Gooda as God if you like. There are no spiritual police. But if you do, be clear. There's no next world reward, no help coming from above, no need for gifts or prayers. It's not something to believe in or obey, just do and be it. And with Gooda as your guide, you'll feel lightened inside and even helped. And ultimately, Gooda is the journey and the destination, the progress of humanity to perfection. So be double focused on the long-term goal and also on each step along the way. The time will come when sitting on the fence is no longer an option and you have to choose which side you're on. And weak and foolish though we can be, we can overcome these things. And as awareness grows and the desire to help fix things spread, to connect and cooperate and do it real, not fake, eventually a moment will come and it can turn on a button and the scales will tip and humanity will shake free and rise from misery to bliss, like the lotus from the swamp. So we should strive to be the lotus all the time. So here's the final question. Are you feeling Buddhist? Do you feel the Buddha in you? If not, that's okay. Wait till it comes. But in that case, the question arises. If you're not doing Buddha, then what are you doing with your life? And on that note, I say good day.